Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
Family of God, and welcome to New Covenant's online worship. This is Pastor Renee Antrosio, looking forward to living, loving, and growing together in 2025. As we are online only this week, wrapping up holiday gatherings, we take time to contemplate the year ahead. How do we prepare our hearts, minds, and bodies? How can we breathe in possibility that all things are possible with God and breathe out gratitude, giving thanks for our many blessings? Our opening scripture can help us set our intention for the new year. Ephesians 2:10 reads, "We are God's accomplishment, created in Christ Jesus to do good things. God planned for these good things to be the way that we live our lives." Our teaching today comes from Steve Logsdon, whose journey of faith testifies to this process. Each of us is a unique expression of God's accomplishment, a work of art in progress, created to do good things that God has planned out as a way to live our lives. Sometimes God's plans for us are surprising, calling us to serve in unexpected ways. Saying yes to God in the midst of challenges changes us. Sometimes God softens us or makes us firmer in our faith or gives us opportunities to add seasoning to our environment, like salt or coffee. May today's service warm you with the heat of God's committed love toward us to make us more fully into the people God is creating us to be, that we might live into the good works that God has prepared as the way for us to live our lives. Welcome to worship.
I am a treasure. Good morning, New Covenant friends and family. Bob Husband here, and I'm delighted that you're able to join us in our first service of the year online. It's my privilege to give the opening prayer. Heavenly Father, as we step into this new year, we come before you with hearts full of gratitude for your faithfulness in every season. Thank you for sustaining us and walking with us through all the challenges we have faced. Lord, we ask that you pour out your peace on us, our families, and the world. Still every anxious heart and replace fear with the assurance of your presence. Remind us that you are the Prince of Peace, and in you we find rest and security. Guide our steps, Father, and strengthen our faith so that we may trust you fully in the year ahead. Help us to seek you in every moment, to surrender our worries to you, and to embrace your promises with confidence. May your love, peace, and hope fill our hearts and overflow in our lives to those around us. Use us as instruments of your peace, bringing encouragement and light wherever you lead us. We dedicate this year to you, Lord, and ask for your blessing, protection, and wisdom as we move forward. May your perfect love cast out all fear and your presence bring us joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It's hard to take the first step when I don't know the way. Each turn is so uncertain. I learn to walk by faith. But you gave me a promise that you would never leave. You will lead and guide me. Lord, I do I never need to fear. Although sometimes I feel alone, I know that you are near. My heart just longs to follow. I'm willing to obey. Take my hand and lead me. I'll follow.
I will go. You have called me. Madeline Shunk, and I will be reading from Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven.
I will. Covenant Fellowship. My name is Steve Logsdon, and I want to wish all of you a very happy new year. A little bit about myself, just a quick introduction. I am the husband of Melissa Logsdon, your associate pastor. Coming up this July, we're going to be celebrating 20 years together, so very excited for that. I was actually born and raised here in Champaign. Champaign Centennial, class of 96, go Chargers. I was a football player, sang in the choir, acted in the theater department. Very much a part of the community here in Champaign. Although my family likes to make fun of me. I say I'm a townie of Champaign, but they always like to laugh, saying I never really knew where Green Street was, simply because, you know, riding around in the back of the car as a kid, I never paid attention where we were going. My head was usually in a book or something like that. So I knew we got there, I just could never tell you how we got there. So. But today I'd like to speak to you guys. We're starting a new year, and new years always bring new challenges, new adventures, new trials, something that we can always look forward to and always kind of have hanging over our heads, like, well, what's going to happen this year? You know, we've been through COVID, we've been through the election year, we've been through all these challenging things, so every new year kind of brings something different. So but this year I'd like to talk about how our faith can grow through these challenges of the new year. But first, I'd like to just stop and invite the Lord to be a part of this. So, God, we just thank you for today. We thank you that you give us this chance to just be in your presence. God, I just pray that we would prepare our hearts for your wisdom, and that we would just be able to use it to grow and bring honor and glory to you in all that we do. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Now, I want people to understand, I love a good object lesson. I've always been partial to them in a lot of the teachings that I've done in the past. It helps me understand things, and I want to share something with you guys. In talking about trials and growing our faith, the things I want to talk about, it's going to sound strange, and some of you may have heard this analogy before, this illustration. So if you have, you know, come along with me. If you haven't, I hope you enjoy this, but I want to talk about carrots, eggs, and coffee. Now, I know this seems strange, but bear with me, and I'll bring you along. First off, Melissa and I have to understand, we have done a great many different ministries in our time together, both before we were married and after we were married. We had been involved heavily in ministry in one form or another, everything from pastoral interns, we were youth ministers, even missionaries around the world. One of the things that we did, though, was parachurch workers. We worked for an organization up near Peoria. Melissa was in charge of the youth program there, and I was helping with what they called the Benevolence Center. It was the area where donations were dropped off, and we did daily food pantries for the community, for people in there, and I kind of ran the community gardens there and helped people plant those in the gardens that people could come in from the area and pick whatever fresh produce they wanted whenever it was ready to be picked. So it was really a great time with that. Kind of like the produce that we were growing, one of the things I enjoyed growing were the carrots. Now, I enjoy a good carrot. You know, straight out of the ground, you wash it off, give it a quick peel, I just crunch on those things. Every once in a while here at home, I get just a taste for one. I'm like, I just want a carrot. Go grab one out of the fridge, peel it up. I'm walking around the house looking like Bugs Bunny, just crunching on a carrot. And that's the thing about carrots, that fresh carrots straight out of the ground, you take them and you try to bend them a little bit. They don't really bend a whole lot. They'll just snap right in half on a real good fresh carrot. And, you know, my faith was a lot like that in those times. That working in the food pantry, it wasn't an unusual occurrence that we would have to break up fist fights over something as simple as a loaf of bread or a birthday cake or something that might have been donated to the food pantry. And in those days, like I said, my kind of rigid faith, I've grown up in a very conservative family, and we were very much, you know, pray the sinner's prayer, hand them a Bible, and get them out the door kind of a thing. And not that praying for people and getting them Bibles and resources is not a bad thing, but just it was very rigid. It was very, there's not a lot of room for caring. It was just win the souls and move on. And in those days, I've had, with me still having kind of that mindset, I was watching these people fighting over a loaf of bread, and I'm like, these are sinners. These are, you know, these people are just terrible. And you know, I'll admit, it was probably not the best heart to have in serving in that kind of a ministry. And I really felt challenged by God in that time that he said, you know, you're not seeing the people there. You know, God really put the heat to me. You take a carrot, you put it in some boiling water, and what happens to it? It starts to soften. And in that time, God really challenged me. He said, I'm going to put the heat to you because you're seeing these people not through my eyes, but through yours. And so it took some time, but I started seeing these people as people who were hurting. You know, that they needed compassion. What they didn't need was my judgment on them. I had to stop and say, what do these people really need? And it wasn't just a bag of food. They needed that hope. They needed that compassion, that help to help them realize that they needed Christ as well as I did. I mean, all of us need Christ. There's no doubt about that. And so it was that softening of my heart to say, I see that you're hurting and that you need more than just a bag of food. You need hope. You need compassion. You don't need someone judging you. You need someone coming alongside you. And that, it was really kind of a challenge to me in one of the forms of my faith that I just had to stop and say, wow, you know, I really was pretty rigid, pretty staunch. Melissa and I used to joke when we first got married that we had this, box of God that we kept on the shelf kind of thing. It was, every time we talk about God, we could, you know, point to the box and say, there he is up on the mantle, you know. But it seemed like as we were going through these different challenges that one day we kind of took God out of that box to inspect him. And we realized that he never fit back in that box again. And we had to let God be God. He was way bigger than we ever gave him credit for. And so it was that softening of my heart that brought that along in those times. But going from the parachurch organizations, we also did things like church planting. One of the times that when we had moved up to Peoria, was originally to help with planting a church. And very exciting time. We were one of the first families to move there in the area from the team, and we moved into an apartment complex. We started helping out with some of the outreach events and stuff that we had going on for the church, and was so excited. And we were thinking, oh, this is going to be great. But on the same time, I was also working a job that, you know, we had to pay our bills and things like that. And the whole time we were saying, you know, we're depending on God to get us through. We're depending on the Lord's provision. And that sounded really good. But on the inside, just nervous because our bills were piling up and I wasn't making a lot of money at the time with the job that I had. So much like an egg, the eggs, when you pick up an egg out of the carton, a nice firm outside shell, it looks solid. And what we were doing at the time, we were like, oh, we're depending on God. Boy, that's a solid statement. You know, we're depending on God. But if you looked at our heart inside, you'd realize we were really nervous. We had some doubts. We were, you know, saying, okay, God, is this really what you have for us? And You know, at any moment, we were ready to kind of pull the plug and run back home to Champaign, where we had family and a support system. But we were like, we're going to stick this out, God. And it really, through our time there, like I said, there was some weeks where I would come home and I had one paycheck that only had 8 hours of time on it. So 8 hours of working kind of a minimum wage job does not pay the rent. And so we just said, God, we're putting this completely on you because we obviously are not successful in this. And oddly enough, it to this day, it still boggles our mind that we don't understand how our bills got paid. We saw the amount of money coming in. We saw the amount of money going out. It never registered for us. It never made sense to us. But for some reason, we always had just enough. And it was like God was just saying several times, it felt like he was standing in our living room saying, I got you. I'm taking care of you. You know, again, God putting the heat to us to say, I'm challenging you to depend on me. And it's like you take that egg and you put it in that boiling water and the shell still stays the same, but the inside starts to firm up. Like I'm seeing God working, and in my heart I'm saying, you know what, God, you're right. You are taking care of me. And that doubt leaves your faith, that kind of soft, I don't know if I'm going to do this kind of feeling goes away, and you say, no. When I say I'm relying on God, I knew I meant it. My faith became firm in saying, God's going to take care of me. He's covered me this far. I know he's going to take me even farther. And it was so exciting to be able to show people, say, look, it sounds crazy, but, you know, we depend on God to take care of us, and he does. And we were able to show them with real-life experiences of just saying that this is how our faith was strengthened during this challenge. And it was so exciting to be able to give people that hope as well. You know, we went from being super rigid and, you know, I'm not going to change my ways, but to seeing people who were hurting, and then they were needing that hope. But in the same time, I was able to say, here's the hope that I got in this situation, and I want to share it with you. And so we really started just growing so much in all of that. But as it goes with church planners, you know, we had more and more people coming into the church. It was growing, and we were starting to train people to take up jobs that we were working in through the church as part of, you know, a church plant team does, that we train our replacements and move on to the next project. And it got to a point where I literally had worked my way out of a job, essentially, in the church. I had trained so many different people to do so many different jobs that for a while there, it started feeling like there wasn't a place for me anymore there. And so I started feeling very upset, very kind of resentful. I was like, God, you called me into this, and here I am now, no place. I have no input on what goes on in this church anymore. I thought I was called to be here for part of this. And God just kind of challenged me in that, and this is, once again, putting the heat to me and in my faith. And God said, would you climb Mount Everest for me? And I said, God, in a heartbeat, let's do this. You know, when are we going? And it was kind of a challenge he had put to me. He said, I'm not asking you to do anything crazy like that. What I want you to be is a neighbor. I want you to be a friend. I want you to be a mentor, the occasional handyman for the people in your apartment complex. I want you to be there and be my representation in that place. And much like coffee, you take coffee, you throw it into the boiling water. Now the coffee itself, the coffee grounds don't actually change. What the coffee grounds do is it changes the water around it. It improves the water. It makes it something desirable. It's still hot water. It's still a challenge. It's still going through, you know, this trial. But the end result comes out so much better than what it started with. And so in that time, when Melissa and I were living in that apartment complex, we had several families living around us who were single moms. We had some retirees. We had former gang members. We even had a drug dealer living a couple doors down from us. All wonderful people when you got to know them. One example that I still laugh about today was while we were living there, it was the apartment complex backed up to some woods, one of the parks in the area, and there was a large wooded area behind our apartment. So I would always just take a target with me, and because I would shoot my bow and arrow, I would take the target out there, and I would just go practice shooting my bow. It was something I would do for enjoyment and relaxation, and all the young boys in the apartment complex would see me out there shooting, and immediately I would have an audience, and I'd always have to, you know, stand behind me. I don't want anybody to get hurt, but they got so enthralled by that I was like, okay. So, and again, where God kind of challenged me, he said, make a difference in those boys' lives. Give them a chance to be the men that they need to be. And so I was able to talk with all the moms, and the moms happily, you know, donated some money. And because I was working at a sporting goods store, I was able to purchase some youth bows at a discounted price, and gave each boy their own bow. And so during the days when I had free time, I would be out in the backyard shooting my bow, and next thing you know, I had four or five young boys with their own bows out there shooting with me, and I was able to just encourage them and train them and be a friend to them. The occasional bike would show up with a slipped chain, and they'd have me put it back on, and you know, a little bit of spray of WD-40 and send them on their way. And next thing you know, I'd have two or three more bikes showing up. Oh, my bike squeaks. And it was nothing more than just an excuse to come say hi to me, but I would spray the lubricant onto their bike chains and send them on their way. And it was just a great time to really encourage those families around us. Melissa was able to talk with the moms and encourage them to get back into church. She led one of the moms to the Lord, was able to pray with her and encourage her to join a church in the area. Another mom was able to find a good, caring relationship, and we still see them on Facebook every now and then. The boys are growing, and she's in a very loving, supportive relationship. And so it's just, we were able to change that environment and make it better. And it was because we were able to share who God was in those times. And just like I said, like coffee, we were put into a challenging area, and we tried our best through God's help to make it better. And it was a wonderful time for us. But in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, it says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." You know, we do these things. We go through these changes in our faith in order to be more available for God to use. We want to be able to share that hope, that compassion, and that excitement that we have, that joy that comes from just that relationship with Christ. Now, as many of you know, I am a police officer here in the community, and I really appreciate the changes that I've gone through in my faith, because it's changed the way I actually handle policing. I'm able to use my discernment. We have what's called officer's discretion, and we're able to kind of deal with each situation in such a way that we deem will probably bring about the best result. I remember a traffic stop that I made on a young man who, something simple, he disobeyed a sign, made a wrong turn, was all it was, nothing major. And just in talking, when I approached the vehicle, it was a young African-American young man, and the first thing he said when I walked up to the car, he looked at me and just, you could see the fear in his eyes, but he was being open, very honest with me. He said, "Just so you know, I've been smoking weed." I said, "Okay, I appreciate your honesty, and we'll address that." And I said, let's talk about this. And I was able to, instead of sticking with that rigid, I'm gonna slap this for every traffic ticket I can, and you know, chase this to the bitter end. I was able to stop and say, "Okay, let's find the teaching moment in this, and in that softening and seeing that him as a real person, and just say, hey, okay, you messed up, fine. I had to do the, field sobriety, make sure he was safe to drive, and We searched the vehicle as per our policy, but I was able then to just talk to him and say, look, I'm only warning you for the traffic violation. You understand? And I was able to explain the law to him and you know, confiscate. He had some paraphernalia he wasn't supposed to have, and which is not uncommon, but again, it wasn't the crime of the century, and was able to talk with him about why I was doing what I was doing. But I was able to see him as a real person and say, I am going to simply find the teaching moment, and I want to make this a better experience for you than what you were expecting. And so all those changes that I had gone through in my past leads up to what I'm doing now. And even now, I'm still finding myself, you know, my faith developing more as I go along, even in this job. And so my challenge for you guys in all of this, I know this has been kind of a quick teaching here, but in all of this, I want to challenge you guys to look at the challenges that you're going through. Look at the trials that you're facing, at the times where you're just like, I'm not sure what's going on, but I feel the heat that's being put to me. And say, how can my faith change to make me more available to God? How can my faith grow that I can be those hands and feet of Christ to be his representation to the people around me? In James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, it says, dear brothers and sisters, when trouble of any kind comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. My hope and prayer for everyone this year is that we all have tons of opportunities to grow in our faith and to improve that endurance for what we have ahead for us. God, I just want to thank you for today. Thank you for that you give us those chances to grow. Thank you for those opportunities to see people around us and to provide the hope for them that they need. Continue giving us wisdom to share with people. Give us words to encourage people with. And give us the compassion to share your hope with those around us. We thank you for all this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just say yes, you lead the way. I'm not afraid of what it means for me to say that this life you gave is not my own. I'm trusting you to hear my yes and lead me on. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My life is yours. I'll just say yes. Yes, Lord.
You lead the way.
Yes, Lord.
I'm not afraid of what it means for me to say
that this life you
this
gave
life
Lord.
Yeah.
This is Jimmy Bean. I'm honored to read the benediction for you this morning. Lord Jesus, we give you our hands to do your work. We give you our feet to go your way. We give you our eyes to see as you do. We give you our tongues to speak your words. We give you our minds that you may think in us. We give you our spirits that you may pray in us. Above all, we give you our hearts that you may love in us. Amen.
Look down from a broken sky, traced out by the city lights, my world from a mile high. Best seat in the house tonight. Touchdown on the cold black tile. Hold on for the sudden stop. Breathe in the familiar shock of confusion and chaos. All those people going somewhere. Why have I never cared?
Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
I step out on a busy street. See a girl and our eyes meet. Does her best to smile at me to hide what's underneath. There's a man just to her right, black suit and a bright red tie. Too ashamed to tell his wife he's out of work, he's buying time. All those people going somewhere. Why have I never cared?
Give me your eyes. For just one second, give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah. Yeah.
Thought that I was wrong. Well, I want a second glance, so give me a second chance to see the way you've seen the people all along. Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.
Give me your eyes for just one second. Lord, give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your heart for humanity. Give me your heart.